Well, welcome everyone tonight to our second night of Missions Week here online at Faith Assembly. It's so good to have everybody viewing. If by chance you're just tuning in, please let us know by just simply giving us a thumbs up or a wave. And then also, I would ask you please, if you would invite some of your friends to tune in for the next 30 minutes as we discuss missions and what missions are all about and what we've been called to do as the church. I want to start off by reading you a scripture that's very familiar to me and hopefully very familiar to all of you. It's one of the last things that Jesus said before he ascended heaven, and is found in Mark 16:15, and it's the Great Commission. He says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, everywhere. That pretty much takes care of it. I can't see any loopholes in that that would keep us from saying, no, that's not me, or no, that person doesn't qualify. That means that we as the church are called to minister the gospel to everyone, everywhere, and that's just kind of a period or an exclamation point. And so that's what we're trying to inspire folks with this week and encourage people to do. Last night, we had a wonderful conversation with Michelle Talley from the Palmetto Women's Center, and she represented the local missions of whatever community, our community of Rock Hill, but certainly where the community that you're living in as well. Tonight, we're privileged to have with us a friend of mine that I've known for actually decades. I was just a wee little lad when I met him. I'm just kidding. I was growing up. That just means we've known each other for a while. We're kind of getting on up there in age, but Wayne Powell is the director of Teen Challenge in Georgetown, and we're so glad, Wayne, to have you tonight, and I just want to welcome you. Thank you for spending some time with us, and I wanted to begin by talking about what Teen Challenge is all about. There's so many people that are watching tonight that probably heard about Teen Challenge, but they don't know exactly what it's all about. So, Wayne, as you're there in Georgetown in that area of South Carolina, and you've been down there for decades working with Teen Challenge, can you tell the viewers here tonight what Teen Challenge is all about, and then maybe just share some stories about what the Lord has done, maybe some things that stick out to you, and welcome again. But go ahead and share if you will.
Thank you, Pastor. The Teen Challenge Ministry is actually an organization now in about 63, 64 years of age, where we are a ministry that reaches out specifically to those that are wrapped up in drug abuse, alcohol and drug abuse. The name Teen Challenge that you started off with, we've added one more feature to our name, and that is that we are now considered Adult and Teen Challenge. For years, there was a little bit of confusion about, you know, who's qualified to go to Teen Challenge. Well, because we did not have the name Adult in it, a lot of people who otherwise would have gotten help kind of turned away and maybe looked somewhere else for a rehab. But this is a Christian ministry that was founded on the principle that Jesus Christ is the answer for those who are trapped in addiction. Many of the stories in the Bible specifically can be talked about with addiction. The prodigal son is a tremendous story about how a person can be lost away from God, and then with restoration, a new life and well-being can be experienced. And that's what we do here. The main purpose that I would say is we've got, really, it's a five-fold mission statement. We want to help people to mentally be sound, be able to think based upon the Word of God, their values, their moral compass is mentally sound, emotionally balanced. We all have emotions. We react to the environment around us, the things that have happened. And so our emotions sometimes get all balled up and messed up, and we want to help that to become something that's more Christ-like. Socially, we interact inappropriately. Maybe we haven't learned the skills or had the family background and the teaching, maybe a lack of a father image. So there are social issues that have to be gained. That's part of our core program. Another core part of it is the physical part of us. We've all abused ourselves with chemicals, lack of sleep, exerting ourselves beyond our normal capacities. So because of the addiction lifestyle, it's very important to set our students on a pattern of good sleep, good eating, good exercise, being well-rounded. And then most of all, is a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people out there that talk about spirituality. We're all spirit beings, but there's a difference between it just being a spiritual being and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we're headed with this particular ministry, is to take people into that daily venture where God becomes more than just something, some word out of the Bible or some byword that's used flippantly. When we talk about God, we're talking about someone that loves us, somebody that's personally involved in our life, Pastor. And it's a lot of fun because all these years of working with these young men, I think of the transformations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Now, there's two parts to that. One part, there's an instantaneous inputting into the body of Christ. When he forgives sin, he does that a real good job. But the next part of recovery is that many of these people have to be trained as to what's normal and what's expected. So the new man in Christ begins a progressive road of recovery. And that's why our program is designed to be a 1 year time where they spend in somewhat isolation, but yet we do a lot of activities off campus, church services. When COVID wasn't raging, we were out in church services almost every weekend somewhere sharing the message of help and hope through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, and you've been to our church many times over the years, and it's always a privilege. It's always a joy to have you all here and to see the transformation. In fact, there's some people that have been part of the that were what I would call me. I guess you call them a student at the time, and then later on they came back and they were actually maybe an employee or a worker there. They had graduated from the system, and to see the difference in the pictures that you show of the before and after. Are just astounding. Do you have any stories that you might be able to share that might stick out to you as to maybe lives that have been changed?
Well, I'll just go with the present staff that I have now. One of our gentlemen came to this ministry as a result of his son. His son's life had fallen apart. They were living in another state. And the son and his girlfriend, they both realized that they had come to a point in their life and their relationship that they needed something else. So the young lady went to a teen challenge program for women. The young man ended up coming to our place and going through the program here. When he finished, he went to Texas and he found this young lady. They got married and then ended up going to Ohio and picked up Dad and brought Dad to us. And now we're in about the fourth year now where all of this has started to transpire. And so Dad went through the year-long program here and never left. He stayed on his staff. He's our academic coordinator now. And Tony's, you've met him. He's been to church there.
In fact, I remember him.
The other day, when are we going to get to go back to faith? He remembers you guys, and it's a very pleasant, very popular topic whenever we talk about faith assembly.
Oh, praise the Lord for that. we try. You know, Wayne, it's interesting. You touched on this a little bit ago. For many of us that are viewing here tonight, it would seem almost common sense to us to say, well, sure, you take care of your body. You eat right. You sleep right. You don't take drugs. You know how to treat your spouse. You know how to show up to work on time, have good work ethic. You know how to take care of your finances and all of those. A lot of those things are common sense stuff to many of us viewing, maybe, I would imagine. And yet, that's really not the case, is it, with the people, some of the people that you deal with? You think, how can people get to that point where they're struggling so that they need Teen Challenge? So maybe can you touch on that a little bit as far as how do people get to that place, and how can we understand as viewers that maybe have a hard time connecting that? It's kind of like a disconnect that we have. And maybe even we're looking at this and looking at them saying, man, you know, almost judging them, I guess, in a way of saying, well, they shouldn't have done that, and it kind of serves them right. Yeah. And, you know, there's that sort of attitude too.
Yeah, there's a negative side to it where society generally looks down on those individuals. But
sure,
if you take the society or the community that they're born into,
okay,
you take the culture that they're born into, their family dynamics, their education or lack of education.
And it's all they know. That's what they grew up in.
That's that they grew up in that in a dysfunctional set.
Sure.
And it's the choices that they make. And many of those choices are based on survival instincts.
So my daddy drinks and beats up my mama. So I'm going to drink and beat up women, for example,
actually,
right?
There's a Bible verse that talks about that. The Bible talks about the sin of the father is passed to the third and fourth generation, which sounds rather cruel that a loving God would punish me for something my granddaddy did. That's not really the context of it.
That's
right. The context is that what my daddy did and how my dad treated my wife, my mother, and how he treated his family, that's what I see as a role model. So I live my life like my dad lived. And we have a saying in South Carolina and Teen Challenge, monkey see, monkey do.
Sure.
And that's, it's not that they are a bad person to start with. It's just the fact that they're trapped in that system.
Sure.
And many times we will have a student that might be 30 or 40 years of age, and their mindset is locked in way back whenever they were abused.
Yeah.
Or where they had a tremendous loss in their life, divorce, death of a grandparent, death of a parent, desertion, physical abuse, sexual abuse, those type things puts the pressure on an individual, and they become like a ball in a pinball machine where they just react, boom, 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 boom. And then the choices and the reactions that they do lead them into self-medication. That's another biggie, you know, where the pain. I've heard addicts say, you know, I tried something and it was peace. I found relaxing. I found comfort when what they're really looking for is the comfort that Jesus Christ can give.
Yeah.
But that medication is a cheap substitute, and that becomes addiction. And society doesn't look favorable on that.
Yeah, and you say it's a cheap substitute. It's almost an expensive substitute too, in that it gets them to a place where they spend all their money on that, and they end up homeless, or they end up, you know, in struggling in so many ways, and going out and stealing and all that sort of stuff just to.
That makes me think of a young man that said to me one time. He was saying, "Well, I'm not that bad. I was a salesman last year. I made $80,000.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I just kind of said, well, I need to borrow $10. And the look just drained out of his face. And he said, man, I ain't got $10 to loan you. And he told me later on, years later, he said, you could have hit me with a two before and that wouldn't hurt any worse.
Yeah.
Than realizing that all the past was of no value, because at that particular point, he was, as we say, he was disgusted and couldn't be trusted. Busted, disgusted, and can't be trusted.
So, Wayne, are you telling me then and that Teen Challenge exists and has over these 60 years or so taken people like what we just have discussed that have grown up in that culture, they've known no better, they've made poor decisions. We on the outside looking in think, how could they get that way? But the fact is, they are that way. And if we can meet them at their point of need, that's what Jesus did, right? He always met people at their point of need. Jesus never said to anybody, why don't you come over here where I am and I'll take care of your need. He always went to the need. He always reached out, met them where they are, and then brought them to a place of healing, deliverance, and restoration. That's what Teen Challenge is doing right now, as being the hands and feet of Christ in our generation. Does that sound accurate?
That's correct. Jesus said, I must needs go. It was a driving compassion that he had. And when we operate in that kind of compassion and we make ourselves available, the world will beat itself to our doorstep. When COVID hit, everybody went into hibernation. Everybody dove into the hole, hiding. And there was a period of time where it looked like, man, people's not calling for help. What are we going to do? Are we going to be able to stay open, maintain? What do we do? And about 4 months ago, it seemed like the lights came back on. And we're running a full house. I have people on a waiting list now to get in, simply because there's so many people that went into depression.
Yeah.
Everything that has happened during the COVID time has accented the pain.
Sure.
And the isolation. And human beings are not made to isolate. We are made with a need to be involved with other individuals. And we're seeing a big surge now on the back end of it. And COVID when we look back on it, I think history is going to say that COVID actually was a good thing for our type ministry, because it made us refocus and realize these people are not going away.
Yeah.
The problem's getting worse.
I agree. And I would add to that, Wayne, that it's not just for Teen Challenge, but that's for all ministry. The opportunity right. is much more distinct, much more aware. There's just this sense of understanding that, wait a minute. And I know for our church, what we've been able to do is kind of shed off some of the things and refocus. And as we're looking at this, and as we talk to the people that are here tonight, Wayne, what would you say to the folks that are viewing here tonight that maybe are gaining a greater understanding of what they could do ministry-wise, volunteering, let's say, in their community, in Teen Challenge, or something to do with the homeless, or something to do with shut-ins, or something to do with whatever? What would you speak to them and encourage them, challenge them, inspire them to do?
Well, I just picked up the phone here as a prop. Many a time we'll get a phone call, and what we hear on the other end is a desperate mom, or a desperate dad, or a pastor that says, I've got a story that you probably never have heard about anything like this before.
Yeah.
And I've done this long enough to say, trust me, you're not alone. Mm. This has happened before. You're not the first person this has happened to. Don't feel like you're a lone ranger here. But the good news is there's hope. There's help. Mm. So once we can bridge that idea to help make people feel like they're not isolated, alone, and hopeless, we can offer them a way that they can become productive individuals. And the other thing about addiction that's really, really phenomenal is it's not a one man or a one isolated person. Addiction is a family situation, because these individuals don't get there by themselves. One of the heartbreaks that we have is if we take a young man out of his environment for a year, a dysfunctional environment, a drug addiction, abuse, whatever it might be.
Sure.
If we take them out for a year and we get them stood on their feet, a relationship with God, and they go back into that same environment without some adjustments being made there, then we've basically wasted a lot of time and a lot of efforts, because it's a family situation. And you're not alone, mom, dad. If you're out there and you've got a wayward son, it's not that you've been a bad parent. It's not all those kind of things that the devil would put on you. It's the fact that something needs to be fixed. And I would encourage you to make that phone call, talk to somebody. These things don't fix themselves. It takes somebody stepping up and saying, hey, in fact, I have a saying around here, the rebel in the family that's causing a lot of the trouble. When I was in education, we knew that we could look, and if we had a rebel in the school, some kid that was always causing trouble, it was usually an indicator that something's wrong.
Sure.
At home.
They were crying out for help.
They're crying out for help, and
yeah,
the rebel is probably the one that can tell you what the problem is.
So Wayne, okay, so you're talking about people picking up the phone and saying, I need help, my son, my daughter, my husband, whoever is struggling with some sort of addiction, what can you do to help? Let me pivot real quick and say, what about folks that are doing fine? Their homes are in good shape as far as there's no addictions or anything like that. They're serving the Lord. What can people do that don't have that sort of thing going on in their life that they can contribute a healthy ministry that they have in their heart to whatever situation in their city?
Well, I think becoming aware, Pastor,
how do you become aware? How would you do that?
Okay. Well, the internet has really opened up a vast way of being able to do search.
Okay.
You can go in on a search line and just say, you know, what are the volunteer organizations in my community?
Sure.
What are the food distribution places? What are the clothing places? Where are the feeding tables? Things like that. We start to look around at what's going on around us. And one of the things that I've said for years, whenever I see people that come out of, they go through a program, their life has been restored. Many times, one of the first fatal mistakes that person make is they try to become the Messiah. They want to reinvent the wheel and help everybody, when I've told them many times, look, let's don't reinvent the wheel. Join with an organization that's already being productive. Join with somebody that's already been down these roads. Don't exasperate yourself trying to do something that somebody else has already conquered. Let's work together hand in hand.
Great advice.
We'll get the job done a whole lot better.
That's great advice. So Wayne, as we're encouraging people here tonight, to keep it real simple, I'm hearing from you the advice of get online if you have internet connection and Google local ministries, volunteer, kind of keywords like that. Things will show up. I mean, you'll probably have more options than you can think of when you do that.
Absolutely.
And then pray about this and say, all right, Holy Spirit, I'd like to give an hour a week. I'd like to give 2 hours a week. I'd like to, whatever it would be. It doesn't have to be every day, all day. It's just however much time that you have. And instead of watching television or whatever you're doing, take that hour or whatever and say, I'm going to volunteer and I'm going to serve at some local outreach that's proclaiming Christ, that's bringing people from where they are to where God wants them to be, and start somewhere and start with somewhere that's already in existence. Don't feel like you have to start a ministry all by yourself and hope everybody joins in. Get into the mix of what's already happening.
Huh? Yeah. Put your seed in good ground.
Sure.
So in good ground.
Sure. Yeah. And so, I'm inspired tonight as I listen to you and I realize, there actually is a path here for ministry, for my life, for folks that are watching here tonight to say, wait a minute, I don't have to be a full-time director of Teen Challenge in Georgetown, South Carolina to make a difference. I can volunteer right here where I am in my community, 1 hour a week, doing something to make a difference, because some plant and some water, but God brings the increase and God, he gets the glory for it. And that's what you're doing, Wayne. That's what we're doing here at Faith. And that's what I know so many of us are doing that are viewing here tonight. And I want you to do something for me, Wayne, as we're coming close to our time to end here tonight. I want you to pray. Would you do that? Would you pray tonight, Wayne, and lead us in prayer for all those that are viewing, maybe that the Lord isn't stirring something in their hearts to say, man, I need to pick up the phone. I need to Google this. I need to engage in some way, because the return of Christ is near and I have a gift. I have a passion. There's something in me that's stirring, that's drawing me. And I just don't know what to do. Would you pray for those people tonight? And let's just ask the Lord to touch their hearts and give them a clear direction and let the Holy Spirit lead them. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Would you join us tonight as Wayne leads us in prayer?
Our Father, oh, what a privilege tonight to be able to call you Father and know that all of heaven will come to the attention when your people cry out. And God, I know that there are people out here that are listening. There's such an array of emotions and cultures and backgrounds and questions, Lord, of what can I do? But now I know that just as you've laid it on my heart to do this, and Pastor Brian is doing what he does, and then you've got all of the support personnel, and we've got viewers that are sitting out there saying, how can I do that? What can I do? God, I'm praying that there will be a whole bunch of movement, God, that we don't just sit around and say, what can we do? But we actively begin to look for something to do. And Lord, you have the ability to lead us. You know what's in our little corner of the world. You know what it's going to take to light up our corner. God, help Susie and help Jack and help Ben and help Mary. Help all these people, Lord, that are saying, yeah, I'd really like to get involved, but I don't know what to do. Help us to understand that we are a candle in a dark corner of the world. Mm. We're in a world that's broken. Mm. We're in a world that's in a mess. We are in a world that's confused. But God, if we stand strong and we show that we have peace, that we're not broken, that we're not confused about where we're going, Lord, there will be people that will follow. There will be people that will come up and say, what's different about you? And God, that'll be just that little crack in the wall, that little moment where we can say, can I share with you where I get my peace from? Can I share with you why I'm not confused? Can I share with you why I'm not desperate and all exasperated with what's going on around me? Because I know one whose name is Jesus,
yeah,
who has the ability to bring calmness in the middle of a storm.
Amen.
So, Lord, in the lives of the people that's watching this tonight. Some of them may be sitting in a very comfortable chair and everything's just real nice. Lord, let us not be comfortable in this, but God, let us stir up to say, I've got to do something. There's something I can do. There's something Jesus. I will do. And when we set out with that determination, you have a way of just wrapping things up and bringing it to a point. For my Bible tells me that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So God, that's the light that we're going to walk in. And you said that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of you. So today and tonight and tomorrow, the next day and on, we're going to find a mission and we're going to accomplish it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Wayne. Amen. I would love to pray for you. In fact, I would like for those that are viewing here before we conclude tonight, would you just bow your heads one more time and maybe even extend your hand out to Brother Wayne and whatever it is that you're viewing on. And let's pray for Brother Wayne and Teen Challenge Ministry. Would you join me for just a few more moments? Father, we thank you tonight for Brother Wayne and his wife and the workers there, the associates, all the volunteers. Lord, they've for decades worked diligently, tirelessly, faithfully in the Georgetown, Myrtle Beach area. And many people from all over the state, all over the country have come, and we've seen great fruit as a result of it. And Lord, I pray that in this time of challenge and anxiousness and uncertainty, as people are being isolated and all the more magnifying the need for ministries such as Teen Challenge, I pray, God, that you would bring people to Teen Challenge that are in desperate need of being delivered and restored and rescued from their addictions. And God, that you would bring them to a place of your destiny for their lives, that you would give the Teen Challenge of Georgetown favor in every way, supply their needs, Lord God, give them favor in their community and in every way. God, give them health and life, long life, and God, give them strength, Lord Jesus. I just pray, God, that you would watch over them, bless them, and multiply their ministry for your glory. We thank you, God, for Teen Challenge and for this beautiful ministry that is there, not just in Georgetown, but all across the country, all of the Teen Challenge campuses. Bless this ministry and bring and rescue people from their addictions and what Satan's plan is for them, and let your plans and purposes be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank Amen. You, Pastor. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It is a joy. It's a privilege to know you, Wayne. We've had some wonderful times together doing street ministry years ago, handing out tracts and ministering to people there in Myrtle Beach. You remember all those years? And
you're dating yourself now, brother.
That's all right. I have no problem with that. Again, I was just 5 years old, and you were like in your 30s already or something. I can't remember. It was something like that. It's vague to me, but Lord, forgive me. I'm not sure I'm accurate with that. But anyway, hey, listen, Wayne, if there's anything that we can do, and we're going to post your information, email address, your phone number, your website, all of that stuff is going to be in the comment section for anybody that wants to engage in any way with Teen Challenge in Georgetown. But tomorrow night, we look forward to continuing this time of interview and discussion as actually our children's pastor, Matt Shearer, is going to be interviewing a gentleman who's a missionary to, help me out here,
Honduras.
I always get that nation wrong. It's somewhere in Central America. He's Honduras, and his name escapes me real quick.
Ken Harrell.
That's right. He's you've just got to tune in tomorrow night. He's full of energy. He's very excited about ministry and loves the Lord. He works with children in the Honduras. And so I know you're not going to miss this interview tomorrow night. Tell everybody about it. Tune in at 6:30 tomorrow night. And would you please share this post with people on your Facebook page so that they can see this and possibly watch this thing exponentially grow in viewership over the next 24 hours. Brother Wayne, thank you again for joining us tonight. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you again real soon. And just God bless your ministry, brother.
I want to say thanks to everyone that's viewing. And I want to say thanks to Faith Assembly for the support that they've given us, the friendship, the prayers. Always pray for us.
Sure.
And then whenever you can come by and see us, it's always uplifting when we get somebody stops in and says, hello, we're just in the neighborhood. We want to say hello. Boy, that's like, hey, we see normal people, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. And if you come at lunchtime, Brother Wayne will buy you lunch. So there's that part. Okay. Wait a minute.
McDonald's around here, brother.
You're right. There's nothing there. I get that. Bring a sack lunch.
All right.
All right. Lord bless you, Wayne. Thanks. God bless you.
Pastor.
You're welcome. And be blessed. And we will see everybody here tomorrow night at 6:30. In the meantime, be blessed and have a great next 24 hours. Make a difference for Christ wherever you are in your community. Have a good night.